The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
She's an Olympic champion. He is a two-time Olympian. Together, they're figure skating royalty. Turned NBC commentators. And now, they're pop culture icons. But more importantly, they're best friends. NBC presents Tara and Johnny. Here's Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Hi, guys.
Today's episode is brought to you by
Entenmann's.
Hi, honey.
Hey, Jay.
I feel like it's been like a year since I've seen you, but it's been like a day.
Yeah, like 24 hours.
Yeah.
We have so much to talk about.
We do.
So much to fill in our people who are listening.
A lot's been going on.
So much.
Let's start at the beginning, a very good place to start. I don't think we've talked to everyone since New Year. So happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. So what was your evening? I mean, you were in Montana.
I was in Montana. All of my friends came in. I don't think we talked about the Winter Olympics. Did we? Remember, I think I told everyone we were going to, you know, do this.
You were so, in fact, I'm going to call your bluff. You were so excited about this Winter Olympiad in Montana that you talked about on three separate podcast occasions.
I'm sorry, guys.
But now let's talk about medal tables and what happened to you there. How was your luge?
If anyone goes like and has like this like retreat in a very cold area that can do a faux Winter Olympics with a bunch of your friends, I highly suggest it. So my friend Amanda and Josh, they're just like incredibly like smart. They can put together something so perfect in such a short amount of time. We like put it on the group text and we're like, hey, this would be a fun idea. And, you know, most of us would probably have gotten there and been like, oh, like, what should we do? They had like spreadsheets. They nailed it for us. But then like Deb, my friend who's from like Canada, was like coming up with these makeshift curling. Everyone was so into it. They all put so much time in. And just, energy.
I want to throw it out there that in our experience, most Canadians know how to do some bootleg stickball version of curling.
Yes. So our when we got there, we started it and it like spanned a few days and we did like flip cup and I wanted my parents to play. And you know, my mom, she's like a little shy. So she was like, oh, I don't want to play. And I was like, come on, mom. And so, like, one of our first games was Flip Cup, and neither of my parents have ever played Flip Cup.
I've never played Flip Cup.
You haven't? Yeah, I mean, it's a college game.
And you're such a collegiate person.
I mean, like, but you know how social I am. In the last 10 years, I've, like, wiggled my way in to find out how to play Flip Cup and
beer pong. So how many frat parties?
And
how many frat parties did mommy not know that you'd gone to?
No, not a frat party, but I just, you know, had my friends who had these experiences teach me. I went through a phase when I moved to LA and I didn't know what beer pong was. And then someone told me and I was like fascinated by it, and it would be more wine pong. But at all my parties, we would do wine pong and I got really good at it, to be honest.
Bravo.
Yeah.
But now explain to me Flip Cup.
Flip Cup.
In case also there are people out there like me that have never really played that. I imagine there are those red cups involved.
Right.
Those red plastic cups.
It was sort of like a relay race, and you had the red team and the blue team. I was on the red team, and we line up, and there's a little alcohol, beer, or in my case, wine, or, you know, people did water. And
well, that's stupid.
You start at the same time, okay? And you drink it, and then you, no, wait, reverse.
Give it to me.
God, I can't remember now.
No.
Either way,
you played Flip Cup and it doesn't matter
listen,
how you play it.
Does it.
As long
matter.
As we got drunk.
So wait, at the edge of the table, the cup kind of sits at the end and you have to flip it so that it lands perfectly on the other side so it can't fall over.
It sounds like Dubby would be good at it.
Right. Dubby is like perfect at all things. He probably would have like beat everyone at the Winter Olympics. There was also individual medals. I mean, we went hardcore on this thing, but we nailed Flip Cup. Like, red team was dominating for a while.
Well, you know, communism.
So we did Flip Cup. We did beer pong. Todd and I came out because we were on a team. So we came out in our onesies to play beer pong. And
Now, wait, just before we continue on, guys, Tara showed me videos of Todd Kapp playing these games. Now, Todd Kapp is to us, a giant man. I mean, he's quite slim. He's, you know, way over 6 feet tall. Like, he's just a giant to us. So for everything he does, especially when he acts like he's a tiny person,
right,
or he's like a little boy, we get very, very excited and fall more in love with him. So there are these videos of him just being overly excited, accidentally breaking things because he doesn't know how big he is. You know?
He really did. So there was one game. So we had a bunch of games. It was Flip Cup. It was beer pong. We did curling outside, which was so much fun. Like, we had a broom and we made the little circle and we, you know, had these teams. We did a lot of indoor fun games like Connect Four, taking it back, Connect Four, reverse charades. We did Pictionary. There was just, it was so much fun. We did that. And the final game was Jenga, and I'll get to that. But the reverse charades, I don't know if anyone's played it before. It was the first time for me. It was so much fun because it's a group of people all acting it out, and there's only one person guessing. And so some of the videos I showed Johnny, I think they were on my Instagram stories, and if you missed them, Todd Kapp was just, you know, the star of it. So
dominant.
Get this. Out of a random pick, the first thing we get is triple jump. So,
oh, yeah.
And Todd is the guesser. So everyone is pointing at me. You know, I am literally doing triple loops in the cabin. I am checking out of my landings. I'm doing takeoffs. I'm pointing at me like a crazy person. And he is just not getting it at all.
What's he say? He's like, Tara?
Tara? He's like, jump? I'm like, oh, my goodness.
You idiot! Now, Tara's real competitive, so I'm the same. If I was playing a game like when I was married and he was not doing a good job, I would just get all sorts of angry. Like, you idiot, I can't believe I married you. You can't even get a proper categories answer. All right.
I mean, I had crazy eyes because I kept pointing at me and I was getting enraged because I was like, triple jump. I'm jumping in the air. I'm almost doing a triple. The only thing I don't have on is skates. So we lost that game.
Yep. Sorry, Todd Kapp.
But
bad news bears.
He was the star of the show. Everyone loved it because when he played, he got really into it. And he,
like, to the point he was sweating.
He was like a trombone player. or a marching band or something. And his knees were so high, guys. He was getting such high knees that this video
like proper army goose step
and everyone else is sort of chill, just, you know, trying to have them guess, but like then all of a sudden Todd's weaving in and out, jumping, laying on the floor, like he was so committed to charades. It literally killed me. I watched these videos for fun just because, like, I cannot. But everyone got super competitive. I feel like it could have ruined a lot of relationships. But overall, we had a blast. And then it came down to Jenga. And, I mean, that was so much fun because it just was, like, obviously a game of chance of who's going to get to the very end. And unfortunately, the blue team lost. And it crumbled. And then we played the national anthem for the red team. And there were some individual medals. Kelly Hurley did really well.
Kelly Hurley would do really well.
Yeah, I mean, she was in it. she wanted to win. So the Winter Olympics went over, you know, swimmingly, and then we celebrated that night and the day after. I don't know how you feel on New Year's, and I know it's way past New Year's now, but it's such a downer day.
Yeah.
Like, New Year's Eve, it's so much fun, and then New Year's Day is just, I don't know what you guys think out there, but depressing.
It's kind of like
it's over.
Tara and I have talked about this before. Like, it started when we were skating and competing and stuff, and you would get through the competition, and then there was always that one day that you had to be someplace and just do the exhibition or something. And it was the worst day because all of the excitement and adrenaline is sort of over.
And people are leaving and
yeah, we're not good at resting, either of us, and like just enjoying the fact that we have a day off. Like, there has to be something to look forward to, right?
It's just a weird feeling. Even in Rio, we were there for so long. But, like, when you start to leave and everyone's, like, some people are gone and you're walking in the hotel, you're like, ugh, where am I?
Yeah.
That just may be us. We may be nuts.
Yeah, I always have that downer feeling. I mean, my new year was pretty. It was pretty like basic. I usually like to spend New Year's Eve with Jackie, and we figure out what to do, where to go, what restaurant we're having our dinner at. We really enjoy doing kind of Russian New Year, just because she's of Russian lineage and I'm, you know, pretty much as Russian as they come. Yeah, I'm pretty much Russian. So we do like Russian traditions, and we get Sovietskaya champagne, and we'll have Olivier salad, which is like with a special bologna and potatoes and mayo and pickles and like all this, you know, weird, oddly delicious Russian food. And we do like a full table, and that's how we roll. But just because we had to leave for nationals on the 2nd, I didn't want to go too crazy. So Jackie was doing New York New Year, and I was with my family and my brother and some friends down here. And we had this great, great reservation at a restaurant, and I had like heckled and schmoozed and threatened, really, just to get this reservation with a big enough table to fit all of us. And I was like, oh, well, I'm going to write on Twitter that you guys suck and that the food's always cold and that nobody should go there. So then they gave me a table. But anyway, 5 minutes before we get to this restaurant, which is actually a fantastic restaurant, the food's never cold, the power went out because the East Coast experienced a very wild burst of winter's cold. And it started on like 2 days before New Year. And I missed the vortex. We missed the vortex because we were in California. We missed it. But anyway, it started to get really cold. So I guess the pipes froze at this restaurant, which is in like an old inn sort of lodge thing. And the electric went out and they couldn't cook. So there I was, you know, I had been the ringleader of this New Year celebration with, you know, families coming together, dreams being made, conceptions of children happening possibly later that night. You know, I was just the dream maker. And then all of a sudden the dream was, okay, well, we're going to have to eat a Chipotle for New Year's dinner. And they don't serve wine there.
I mean, you should have gone to like Chili's or something. I mean, the chips and salsa there are so good.
No, they're so full all the time, though. Like they're full on a Wednesday afternoon.
That would have been fun.
P.S. I would kill an Olive Garden all-you-can-eat salad right now. Anyway.
I could use some breadsticks.
Girl, you could use a lot of things. You're the wild disappearing woman.
I know. This happens, guys, when we talk about this, when I start to get
stressed,
overwhelmed and stressed. As much as I like to eat, I'm the girl for all you girls out there. My husband laughs at me when I'm finishing my last bite of oatmeal. I'm like, Todd, what time do you think we're going to have lunch and where should we go? And then same thing at lunch. I'm like, oh, should we do dinner at like 7:15 and let's book it now? And where should we go? He's like, oh my God, you just ate. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
But when we get like this, I start talking real fast.
Yep.
I have too much to do. And
like there's
no time
some weird, weird spider venom or something in your veins that comes out and it makes you just insane. But
we'll get to that. But the best part, we can prep it. Ensure. That's all we'll say for now. Go on.
Ensure. So it's a new syndrome. But anyway, another restaurant was able to seat us, and we had to sit at two different tables, which kind of sucked. But we were able to at least get some sustenance on New Year's Eve. And then we went to the Hummingbird, my favorite of all speakeasies. And
that's such a perfect name for a place you like.
Right? I mean, bird.
Unless it was like Bambi.
Bambi. Oh my God, that little deer you sent me on Instagram. I didn't realize you'd sent it to me. Because sometimes when Tara will send me messages or things and it's late enough at night and the bewitching hour has happened with mommy already, I miss things. And then I have to look back and see them. And I saw this, it's a miniature deer, essentially, that she sent me through Instagram private messaging. Because sometimes she likes to throw me off and not text me, but she'll insta message me. But anyway, we had the speakeasy at Hummingbird. It wasn't that crazy or late of a night. And then the next day, I sat around depressed like everyone else and ordered chicken fingers in a mild hangover and stupor.
It was so weird that day.
Yeah. But then on the 2nd, we had to go to, actually, let's get into your syndrome first, because that's a preface for nationals.
So, guys, when I, as I just explained, when I get this busy, I get, like, you know when you're running around on those days and you just, like, don't have time to eat and you put something in your purse, but it's not really something you want. And then, like, it happens for a few days and then, for some reason, when I realize we have nationals coming up, we have the Olympics, I get stressed and I forget to eat. And so, you know, Johnny and I just say, you know what? Screw it. I'm 35. It's kind of old, but not old enough to be drinking and sure. But we just say to Emily, our amazing production manager, hey, Emily.
Can you get some Ensure?
Can you just stock some Ensure? And that's it. There I am in the booth.
Well, what was so funny at Nationals about the refrigerator in our green room was that, okay, so green room is where we do all of our hair and makeup and we get dressed and we gossip and we prepare and all that stuff. But anyway, we were sharing it with everybody. So another commentator does the dance, and then there were some extra people that came in just sort of warm everyone up for Olympics and what was going to happen. So we had Tanith White, who covers ice dancing for NBC. She had breast milk in the fridge because, you know, she's a new mother and the baby was with her. And then Tara had Ensure in there. So it was just like full on birth to death in the fridge.
No.
Well, you're not going to die, but, you know, Ensure is usually for older people. I prefer Boost myself when it comes to meal replacement milk drinks.
I mean, I'm down to try that.
Honey, how much do we love Entenmann's?
I mean, we grew up on Entenmann's.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is, Entenmann's is 120 years old this year. They started in 1898 in Brooklyn before Brooklyn was even a thing.
Before Brooklyn was hip. It's 120 years. Do the math. That is crazy. But they make the most delicious quality sweet baked goods. And as we said, not only did we grow up on them, but we eat them constantly now. We're at competitions, and everyone knows that our Entenmann's box is right there. Johnny, you're the crumb cake, and for me, of course, the rich frosted donut.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with the crumb cake. It's so delicious with a little powdered sugar and the little cinnamony granules on top.
Yes, oh, but we do like the Little Bites muffins, too.
Yeah, everyone likes a Little Bites muffin, but I have to be a bit contrarian. I mean, crumb cake is my absolute favorite thing from Entenmann's. Delicious. Now, if you sing happy birthday to Entenmann's using the hashtags hashtag Entenmann's and hashtag promotion, you get a second entry for the prizes. And Entenmann's will make a donation to Give a Note Foundation to support music education in schools.
Yes. So, guys, Entenmann's is celebrating their 120th birthday in a big way with their I Sing on the Cake sweepstakes. So go to Entenmann's120birthday.com to enter for a chance to win some really great prizes.
Anyway, my New Year's Eve was great, and then we went to Nationals.
Fabulous, and then we went to Nationals. And then, okay, guys, so we go to Nationals, and we arrive at our first production meeting.
Arrive!
Yes, and one of our producers, Leanne, is in the elevator with us, and I don't know if she knows my syndromes or your syndromes, Johnny.
Yeah.
She's like, oh my goodness, do you see everyone with masks? Everyone's getting sick. Norovirus is going
around. Norovirus.
So, I mean, just blow the top off of the first day of Nationals. There, Johnny and I are in the production meeting, Googling norovirus, what could take care of it, what preventative meds we could be on, does Tamiflu work?
Let's wear masks.
How do we get it? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we're out of the woods yet. So I'm still, you know, sitting on pins and needles.
Yeah, I mean, there's a possibility that we're definitely, we could be carriers. Oh, speaking of carriers. I found out a funny information. So, guys, there's this website, like an Ancestry website that tracks your heritage and your genetics and stuff. Well, we were doing it because they're doing like a special thing with NBC, and we were able to kind of get in there and do it. But I got a declined notice from them.
Why?
So, basically, I'm one person in like the 2% of the whole world's population that doesn't carry enough DNA in their saliva to do a conclusive test.
Are you kidding me?
No. So I can't do it. I can't do this.
Are you sure you weren't drinking wine?
I promise. And even so, you should still have enough, you know, ancestry in your
wine.
Saliva. No, I promise I wasn't spitting wine. I was spitting spit. I mean, it was a day after I drunk wine. But
are you going to try it again? Like, maybe there was something wrong.
I did two tests. I did two.
Oh, my God, Johnny.
Yeah.
So you just, so, wait, where's your DNA?
I don't know. I guess it's just in my blood or my globins or my nails or something. But it was hilarious to me because God forbid I'd be special in any way. And, you know, especially when it comes to like your DNA or your blood cells or something. So Becky Chapman, who is one of our big bosses at NBC, she was helping facilitate the whole thing. And she called my manager the other day and she was like, OK, Lena, I've got some news and don't panic. There's nothing wrong with him. I've researched it. I've talked to the doctors. I've talked to the website. But Johnny is, you know, invalid to do this test because he doesn't carry enough DNA in his saliva. which I, you know, I don't know if it's a yeah. blessing or not.
This makes me laugh.
Well, it's just, you know, as
of
special as
you.
Of course me. Of course I can't do a heritage test simply because I don't carry DNA. Mommy does not like DNA in her mouth.
I mean.
Oh, I just
we'll
figured out how dirty that
moving
sounds.
Moving on.
Yeah,
moving on.
Nationals.
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 So we get to Nationals. We're in San Jose.
Yeah, which is a joy. It's a joy. We love the Bay Area.
Yes, and we were there quite early for a Nationals. Usually we come in and it's over the weekend, but it was spread out just so we could get like the best TV slots, hopefully, you know, with it being AKA Olympic Trials. So,
oh, hashtag, are you going into the story about primetime?
Okay, Johnny, so take us into the story.
Yeah, so guys, Tara is wild and aggressive when it comes to work. And she likes what she likes. And if there's a moment when something changes and it's something she likes to something she doesn't like, there's sheer terror across the faces and minds of our entire production team. So we got bumped from Saturday night primetime NBC proper to primetime NBCSN live. And while that's, you know, it's still a huge honor. We get to be on television. NBCSN is our home. It's where we started. But it's not. It doesn't get the same viewership as NBC proper. So our production team
had
to tell Tara.
Yeah, we love NBC Sports. Let's not say that. But
yeah.
When you're hoping for, I think it was the men's event, to be on primetime NBC, it was crushing. It was crushing for football. Football took our place.
Football jacked us for our bling and took our time slot.
I wonder.
So it was really, I mean, that's the most dramatic thing that happened before the events actually unfolded. And I think we're actually going to get into...
Yeah, we're going to get into each event. We're going to get into ladies.
There was
a lot of controversy.
There was.
Nationals.
It was an exciting Nationals. But you guys have to tune in next week to hear our rundown of the national championships. And also... our Golden Globes experience.
Oh, yes.
But as always, you can follow us on social media at Tara Lipinski, at Johnny G. Weir, at Tara and Johnny. Interact with us there. Be our friends. Follow us. Subscribe to this podcast, obviously, and tell all your friends, too. We're so thankful to the 622 trillion of you that listen to this podcast. And, love you.
Well, Jay, one other thing we can it's like a little teaser that we can't forget in our next podcast is check-in moment and, you know, a slight Johnny and Tara little problem, if I put it anyway.
Oh, yeah, that drama. Okay, guys, tune in next week. And until then, we love you and
bye.
This program is brought to you in living color on NBC. The opening and some non-presentation portions were pre-recorded.